You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 29th of November 2021 and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, the big news today is whether Prince Charles is really a racist or not, and they're dredging up this story from a while back where Meghan Markle said that a member of the royal family speculated on what the child from Prince Harry and Meghan Markle would look like. And I mean, this is quite an innocent question to ask. I mean, if you have one white partner and one black partner, you don't know what the complexion is going to be of the child. The child could have fair skin. The child could have dark skin. It's a relevant question to ask. I mean, it really shows that whoever it was, and they're alleging today that it was Prince Charles, that he really didn't know very much about what happens when two different races get together and produce offspring. Because if he had looked into it, he would have realised that you just can't tell, because it doesn't produce a smooth blend of characteristics, because the races are so very far removed from one another. When they breed together, it shatters the characteristics. So you might get fair skin, but you might get a nose which is more associated with black people than white people. Or you might get dark skin, but you might get light-coloured hair. Or you might get dark skin and blue eyes. Or you might get a Caucasian-shaped skull with dark skin. Rather than getting a smooth blend of all the characteristics, you tend to get one or the other. And according to Charles Darwin, the chances of actually producing a child that looks just like one or the other parent, even 20 generations later, is still there. He talked about this when he was alive from observing mixes between pedigree horses, I think it was, with asses or something similar, and also with dogs. And he was saying that If you mix two different breeds together, then many generations later, you can still get what they call a throwback. And people today just don't seem to understand this. They haven't been taught this. They just see all the propaganda on the television that's showing black people getting together with white people, and they just assume that the child that's born is going to look like a mix of both parents, the same as if it had been two parents from the same race. And that just isn't true. I don't think it's racist to speculate on that or to ask something like that. It's just the sort of question that grandparents are going to ask, aren't they? They're going to wonder what their grandchild is going to look like, and they're going to speculate. Of course, and we know now the child was born. It had fair skin, but that doesn't mean that generations later, that a child that is born to one of his descendants will have fair skin. I mean, they may end up having black skin. That's what happens when you mix two different races together that are very far removed, and that's the sort of thing that really should be taught. I mean, it must be distressing to be a mixed-race child and not look like your parents and not look like any of your grandparents. And when you look in the mirror and you see that you look completely different, that must be quite distressing for them. In fact, I'm told that it is distressing for them. We do have some mixed-race listeners that think that it's really wrong the way that this is being promoted everywhere. But there's something also that's relevant in the news today as well to these identity-based issues, and that is the acronym BAME, or BAME, B-A-M-E, Black and Minority Ethnic. Now, back in March, the government produced a report and said that it was not good to use this acronym because it stripped people of their identity. And this makes me think, you know, every few years or so, the identity that we have for non-whites, the word that we use for non-whites, becomes out of fashion. And then within a few years, it becomes politically incorrect. And within a few years, it becomes a racial slur. Could it be that the word black and minority ethnic will become a racial slur in years to come? I would suggest it may very well do if we look at what's happened in the past. And I've always thought that it's wrong to just lump people together. Here at Radio Album, we've always tried to be as accurate as we can with our identifiers. If somebody is black, we will say that they are black. If we know what particular part of Africa they are from, we will say that they are black, and they're also Congoid, or they could be Somalian, they could be Nigerian. I mean, there's actually more differentiation between the black races than any other races on the planet. To be honest, there is a lot of diversity amongst them, but of course a lot of them also have a certain portion of European DNA as well. And this brings into question the way that they have made words like mulatto into a racial slur. And I think they only did that this year. If you look at the Wikipedia page on it, the actual citation for that comes from a dictionary that was produced this year. And you think, well, if you're going to make the term mulatto into a racial slur, then what about all the mulattoes? You're telling them that their identity is now a slur, because people are quite proud of being mulatto. I mean, Barack Obama was listed as the first mulatto president of the United States, which was on Wikipedia. You have rap artists that call themselves mulattoes. You have the American census from just a few years back that used the term mulatto. You have in South America, you have portions of countries in South America where 60% of the people there identify as mulatto. And now you're telling these people that their identity, their very being is a racial slur. So what are you going to call them instead? They want to be defined. They want to be defined as being different to other peoples. They want to be defined as being different to black. It's the same with the word mestizo. And mestizo, which is a cross between Native American, Black African, and European, their identity is different from just black, isn't it? Their identity is different from European. And if you're going to say that it's a racial slur, I should imagine that's very offensive to them. And the reason why I'm talking about this now is because the NHS are now getting involved in this. The term BAME should be scrapped as it erases identities, NHS-backed research has concluded. And as I say, I agree with that. It does erase identities, but they're not actually suggesting anything else instead. They're not suggesting ways that we can identify people's ethnicity. And it is ethnicity that really counts. People will say, oh, yes, well, I was born in Britain. Well, that doesn't tell us what your ethnicity is. That doesn't tell us what your ancestry is. That doesn't tell us what type of human being you are. That just tells us where you were born. I mean, it's the equivalent of telling somebody that what hospital you were born in and expecting that to let people know what the person is like. And this is important because as we've found out, there are different diseases that are associated with different races. There's medical equipment that works differently on different races. You can't use this one size fits all approach, and they should be trying to be as accurate as possible with the ethnicity so that they can tell whether the signs that they're reading are going to be a cause for alarm, or if they're not a cause for alarm. I mean, black people are more likely to get prostate cancer. They are more likely to have sickle cell disease. White people are more likely to have cystic fibrosis. So if you're looking at vital signs and it's saying, well, this could be sickle cell disease, and yet it's a white person, then it's probably not going to be that sickle cell disease, is it? But if it's a black person, then it is. So you need to be as accurate as possible with this, I would suggest. And yet, up until now, we've had this term black and minority ethnic. We've also got another one, haven't we? We've got this people of color, which really doesn't tell us anything at all. Jews consider themselves to be non-white. And yet, again, the sort of diseases that Jews have are completely different to the diseases that blacks have, and they're different to the diseases that white people have. But of course, when you're trying to be as accurate as possible, then you're actually looking for race, aren't you? And we've been told all this time we should be race blind, and we should be not paying any attention to somebody's race. And of course, now we're being told we need to be doing the opposite. We need to be making exceptions for these other races, because otherwise we're being racist, because we need to even the score, because we've oppressed these peoples in the past, even though I don't believe we have oppressed them. So we're being told that we need to be looking for race, and we need to be making special exceptions if somebody is from a different race. So it all gets very, very confusing. And this NHS-backed research, it hasn't actually said, it hasn't actually given a list of different identities and said how you can tell that somebody is from these identities. Because you wouldn't want to assume that somebody is a particular ethnicity if they weren't actually that ethnicity. So in order to comply with this, they would really have to educate people on the specific differences between the races. And of course, if they were to do that, then this myth that race was just about skin colour and it was a social construct, that would be completely destroyed, wouldn't it? Because there is far more to race than just what colour somebody's skin is. The features between the races are completely different. The aspects of the bone structure are different. Organ size is different. And amounts of endocrine secretions is different. I mean, there are big differences. There are IQ differences. There are differences in between behaviour. It's not just about skin colour. Well, the NHS Race and Health Observatory launched a four-week consultation with the public in July on how best to collectively refer to people from black, Asian and minority ethnic groups. Well, this is just it, isn't it? They shouldn't be collectively referring to them. They should be referring to their specific ethnicity, and they should be trained to spot the differences between these ethnicities. I mean, we're all human beings. You would think that people would want to know the differences and exactly what different types there were. I mean, if you're really into dogs, you're going to want to know all the different types of breed of dog, aren't you? And the different characters that the breed of dog has. And if you're interested in humanity, and I would suggest most human beings are, then it would behoove us to understand the differences between them and be able to identify the different types. The independent body set up and supported by the NHS to tackle health inequalities has formally committed to never use the blanket acronym after feedback to its consultation said it was not representative. But again, they're still looking for a collective term to use, so they're not going to use black and minority ethnic, but they'll probably come up with something like people of colour, which is equally as unspecific as black and minority ethnic. The observatory said it has become the norm in public policy to use initialisms to refer to a hugely diverse group of people, but that renewed scrutiny has been spurred on by the Black Lives Matter movement. And again, we used to get accused of racism because we did differentiate between these peoples. And now we're being told, well, you should be differentiating between them. You should be using specific terms for them. But then if they're going to make terms like mulatto and quadroon and octoroon, if they're going to make those into racial slurs, then how can you be specific about these people? And you're also taking away their history from them, because there are famous octoroons in history, there are famous quadroons in history, and these people that are those particular types of human being, they look to those in history and they think, yeah, that's somebody that was just like me. So it's a positive thing. And yet they're taking these words away from us and saying, well, you can't use them. It's a racial slur. The Observatory said the terminology that crudely conflates different groups does not just erase identities, it can also lead to broad brush policy decisions that fail to appreciate the nuance of ethnic inequality in the UK. And again, that's the point that we've been making here at Radio Albion for a long time, that it does, it conflates all these different groups together. But what they're talking about here, this ethnic inequality, what they're talking about there is different outcomes and inequality between health outcomes. But that inequality is not caused by racism. That inequality is caused by there being differences in ethnicity. If you're using a pulse monitor on the finger, that finds it more difficult to monitor the pulse of black people, probably because they have thicker skin, possibly because the melanin that's in the skin is preventing the monitor from being able to actually see the blood flow. And that's the reason for the inequality in the outcomes. It's because the races are different. It's because the actual skin itself is different, not just the color, but the thickness of the skin, the oils that are in the skin are different. So that is what causes the difference in outcomes, not racism. And what they're saying here, it's this nuance of ethnic inequality. But the ethnic inequality is caused by the ethnicities themselves being different, which crashes up against this narrative that race is just skin deep and it's just a social construct. Generic collective terms such as BAMI, BME, and ethnic minority are not representative or universally popular, the Observatory said after receiving responses from 5,104 people. And I bet another reason for this is because it's just the talking heads that use this. I mean, nobody describes themselves as an ethnic minority. Nobody describes themselves as BAMI. You know, they'll say, oh, I have Indian heritage, or oh, I have Jamaican heritage or Caribbean heritage. Oh, I'm from Nigeria. My family are from Nigeria. That's the identity that people have. And this idea of coming out with a term like ethnic minority or black and minority ethnic is born out of this desire to be politically correct from progressives. And in actual fact, what they do is they take away the identity from people by lumping everybody in all together as if nationality doesn't matter. The ethnic nation doesn't matter. It does matter. You are the sum of all your ancestors. You're not the sum of all the people that lived in the area you are living in now. You can't be. You're made up of what your ancestors were made of. It found no single collective umbrella term to describe ethnic groups was agreed by the majority of respondents. Well, yes, obviously, because that would be like coming out with a term to describe all the different animals that included all the different animals. I mean, you have the term animals for human beings. You have the term human beings. That is the collective umbrella term to describe all the ethnic groups is human beings. But that is not, that includes white people, doesn't it? Of course. And we just want to include the non-whites in this. The body had previously said it was committed to avoiding the use of acronyms and initialisms, but has now formalised this as one of its five key principles it is adopting in its communications. It is understood NHS England has also moved away from using the term BAMI. And again, they don't tell us what term they're actually going to use here. Are they going to use people of colour, I wonder? The Observatory report gave no recommendations for other organisations to drop the acronym, but said it recommended groups should have their own conversations about language. Well, how about you just ask people how they identify? You know, how about you just ask somebody what ethnicity they are? Has it become so taboo now to talk about these things that you can't ask somebody? You don't, I mean, I guess people worry now about saying, where are you from? And of course, what they mean by where are you from is they mean, what family are you from? Where are your family from? They don't mean, what part of the country are you from? It's like when people say, oh, how about you go home or whatever? They don't mean go home to wherever you're living in this country. They mean go back to your ancestral home. If you're not happy with the country that you are living in, how about going back to your ancestral home? And of course, that gets misconstrued, deliberately misconstrued, and people will claim that, my home is in Britain. Well, if you don't like Britain, you also have an ancestral home that you can go back to. And that is what is referred to when people are talking about home. Where possible, the observatory will be specific about the ethnic groups it is referring to. But where collective terminology is necessary, it will always be guided by context and not adopt a blanket term. And that is really good. They should be referring to specific ethnic groups. And they should be looking at the health problems that specific ethnic groups have. And again, but then they will be accused of discriminating against other groups by targeting resources towards one particular group. You see, all of this is coming up against these falsehoods that we've been taught up until now about race. It said it will remain adaptable and open to changing its approach to language. The survey found ethnic minority was the least unpopular collective term, with equal proportions feeling unhappy and happy with it, 37.9%. But what happens when the ethnic minority is not the minority? What happens in London, where white people are the minority and non-whites are the majority? They're no longer an ethnic minority in London, are they? What happens when you're looking at the global population? And you look at the global population and you see that white people, I think they make up 14%. It could be 8%, or it could be predicted to be 8% within a couple of decades. What happens when you look at the global population and you see that in actual fact, white people are a minority? White people are the smallest minority when you compare them to non-whites. Non-whites are the majority. Non-whites are not an ethnic minority when you look at the global population. Black people are not a minority in South Africa, and yet they're still considered to be an ethnic minority. The ethnic minority in South Africa is now white people, and yet there are still all these programs to put black people into positions at work and to prefer black people over whites at work there. They have all these diversity quotas, and yet black people are the majority there. Some 30% of respondents were happy with the term BAMI. Dr. Habib Naqvi, director of the observatory, said the communities we engage and work with needed to be at the centre of these broad conversations before the observatory took a final decision on its own approach towards terminology use. And I can't see that they have actually engaged with these communities, not this particular group, but to make the term mulatto or quadroon or octoroon, to make that into a racial slur, I think that shows that they haven't actually talked to these people at all. They've just looked at these NGOs and these left-wing progressive groups that are always trying to come out with new terms that white people can't use. It's just a way to constantly keep white people self-censoring and worrying about the terminology that they use. Because, I mean, even if you look at the most offensive racial slur that there is, and black people use it all the time. They use it all the time amongst themselves. So why is it that term has been made into a terrible racial slur? If you look at the abbreviation of the word Pakistani, which is used all the time in Pakistan, I mean, it really is used all the time over there. And yet over here in Britain, they say, well, this is a racial slur. Well, the only reason for doing that can be because it ties white people up and it makes them self-censor. It makes it difficult for them to talk about the things that they want to talk about. I mean, it's quite incredible, really, that we're censoring our own language and telling ourselves that we can't use words that we invented. They're somehow slur words. And yet there are no slur words for whites. Of course, we do have terms. We have terms like gammon, cracker, redneck. But we understand that they're just slang terms for white people. We don't get offended by them. We may find them to be not really preferable. Maybe we would prefer not to be called by these things, but it's just water off a duck's back, isn't it? It's just words. They say, we hope that the proposed principles will help others to reflect on their own approaches to language use. This is not the end of the conversation, as we remain open to revisit preferences over time. And I hope that what I'm talking about today makes people think about language use as well, and the way that it has changed over time, and the way that they're stripping people of their identity, and they're now acknowledging that they're doing that. But the motive for doing that was because race was supposed to just be a social construct. So now they're saying, well, it's not a social construct. It's actually an essential part of identity, but only for non-whites. White people can't have it as an essential part of their identity. Now, white people made up the largest group of respondents to the survey, 38.2% of the total, but their responses were not counted when questions were asked about feeling comfortable about collective terms for non-white British groups. Amazing, isn't it? White people's responses were not counted. They just couldn't care less what terms white people thought would be good to describe the out-group. Of course, they don't discount non-whites when they're looking at terms that non-whites would prefer to call white people. And it's incredible that we're just not paid any attention to whether we feel what terms we feel comfortable about using for these non-white groups. The observatory also held 5 focus groups with around 100 participants over September and October. Annette Hay, the chairman of Coventry University Race Equality Council, said the discussion had been very timely and much needed. She said, I found the discussion very dynamic and engaging because, like many others, it is something that I have personally battled with and against for a long time now. And I don't know whether Annette Hay is white or black, but we've been battling against this here at Radio Albion. We've been saying that we want to be as specific as possible with ethnicities, and then we've been accused of racism for doing so. And yet that's somebody's identity that we are talking about here, that Collins Dictionary or whatever dictionary it was has decided that they're going to turn into a slur word. She says there were some very compelling arguments for and against the use of various phrases, acronyms, and terminology, most of which seemed to reinforce the need for more conversations and consultations, so that we might find new and more nuanced ways of referencing, describing, and analysing typically marginalised and minoritised groups. Again, the best way to do that is just to have these biological determinants for the different races and teach people the different things to look for so that they can tell the different ethnicities apart. And by doing that, people would have a much greater appreciation of the diversity that there is between the different races, wouldn't they? If they were to teach people this, people would truly appreciate the diversity instead of trying to be colorblind and not noticing it. And we'd be able to tailor health programs towards the tailored specifically for the different ethnicities in order to get the best outcome, instead of just having this one-size-fits-all approach. I mean, we would even have better clothing as well, because the different races have different proportions. So when you have a one-size-fits-all in clothing, it means that clothes don't fit anyone, actually, because the different races have different proportions. And if you were to say, well, these clothes are for white people, these clothes are for black people, of course you'd get accused of racism then. And it's just constant confusion here because people refuse to accept the reality that the races are different. And we should be celebrating that difference and studying it and finding out as much as possible. And the only people that are studying it and finding out as much as possible are the really marginalized groups, which is nationalists and ethnologists and all the doctors, professors and investigators that have been kicked out of the universities or are banned from speaking there. I mean, we're the only ones that truly do appreciate diversity and are trying to preserve it. And we were the ones who were first pointing out that this term black and minority ethnic strips people of identity. The term people of colour takes away people's identity from them. And now we see that these other groups are doing the same. And as I say, I do wonder how long it will be before BAMI itself becomes a slur word. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.